We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
In the house of God today? You're looking at one guy. I'm excited to be here. And you being here just makes it all the better. Down in Waco, Texas, somebody might say it like this. It makes it mo better that you're here. All right. Welcome to the second week of our Future Family series. Here are quick bullet points from week one. Everyone has a future. You know what just happened? You just stepped into the future. Everyone has a future, all right? Everyone. Everyone has a family. We talked about that. Everyone has a family. You put those two things together. Everyone has a future family. And here's something we told you last week. Your future family needs saving. Your future family's going to face trouble. And that's not a time to just like duck your head and say, oh, I don't want to hear bad news. Why did I come to church to hear bad news? No, it's bad news to run into that without hearing it. Knowing that it's happening and being offered an opportunity to do something about it, that ought to make you happy. Everybody's future family is going to face trouble. They're going to need saving. And the key to the future is the present. You don't need to jump into a DeLorean in order to save your family, all right? You just do something in the present, and your help joined with God's help will bring salvation every time. Oh, yeah, somebody knows what I'm talking about. Today we're going to be talking about your future marriage. Now, chances are good you are either married or one day maybe married, all right? Yeah. Might be awkward for you, an idea for you, but no, it shouldn't be that awkward. Chances are very good that could happen. You probably have a future marriage. It's not crazy, all right? It's not an insane idea for you. There are those who may stay single. Let's talk about that real quick. That's not talked about enough in church, so let's take one moment. The Apostle Paul talks about those who stay single in 1 Corinthians 7. Can I tell you something? Look me right in the eyes. There is nothing wrong with being single. You're not a social pariah. There's not something wrong with you for being single, all right? It's not said in churches enough. I remember growing up in church. I remember starting to work in ministry, and I remember being passed over for ministry jobs because I was not married, and you're a risk to us. They actually said those words, and I'm so... there's nothing wrong with you being single, and the Apostle Paul agrees with me. He says, it is a good thing to be unmarried, all right? That doesn't mean if you're married, you go and get divorced so you can be unmarried. That's not what he meant either, okay?
Oh, no.
Marshall, all right. Just calling you out, all right. Often in culture, singles are treated unfairly, like there's something wrong with them, and that is not true, nor is it the point of today's sermon. So we're past that. Everybody cool with that? Everybody good? Great. We are not talking about the Supreme Court ruling that overturned same-sex marriage bans in 14 states today. That's not what we're talking about. However, if you want to talk about that, we're game for it. We'll absolutely talk about it. We have a anonymous text line that you can text us, 214-856-0550. Ask us anything you want. We're not afraid of the subject. We'll gladly talk to you about it. We are not down in the dumps over the subject. We know that Jesus Christ is on the throne, and he tells you to rejoice at all times. He told you to wake up in the morning and know that today is the day that the Lord has made, and you should rejoice in it. So if you're like in a funk over that thing, you need to get straight. You need to look in the Word of God, because he is good, and he is great, and he's awesome, and he's got all things in the realm of his influence. Nothing has happened that he can't influence. He sent Jesus, his only son, into the world to influence the entire world to salvation. I think he can handle this. Look at somebody and say, I think he can handle that. All right? So check out the text line. And if you have any other questions, you can do that. 214-856-0550. Love questions on that. Love it. Here's what we're going to talk about today instead. We're talking about future marriage. Maybe you're married right now. So if you're married right now, we're talking about your future marriage. We're talking about tomorrow. We're talking about next year. We're talking about for the rest of your life, right? You get that? And maybe you're single. Maybe you're young and you haven't even thought about marriage or dating. Maybe girls are still icky to you. Maybe that's the case. Linus. All right. What we talked about today will be something that you deal in later in life. So don't ignore today. Don't act like today's not for me, because you very well might need this information later. Wouldn't it be great to walk into the test with the information already buried down inside of you? All right? Those are the better tests. So listen up. You always get the better results from those tests. Maybe you're divorced, right? We'll talk about that. Divorce is painful. I want to tell you that you can remarry, and some in Christianity don't understand that. They twist some scriptures and not understand that. If you need to talk about that, let's talk about that. But you can remarry. That is in God's plan, that you can remarry. It's not his will that anyone would divorce, but if you're in a situation where you get divorced, you still have a future. You don't have to live the rest of your life beating yourself up over a past divorce. That's some good stuff right there. That's some good stuff right there. The world needs to hear it. Let me underline it for you that was good stuff. All right. You can remarry, but your future marriage is going to need some healing. So pay attention today. Get some healing for you. Your wedding day is unforgettable and expensive. Amen. All right. It absolutely is. You get all dressed up. You're in a beautiful, picturesque location, bowling alley. You provide the perfect music. Perfect music? What is it? ZZ Top. There we go. All right. And you hire a minister, and you bring lots of food. You kiss the bride. You live happily ever after. And you have this mental picture of what the rest of your life is going to look like. And included in that picture are things like the house, the children, the car, the job. Sometimes even further down the road, we have retirement plans. I remember I went out to a lake house and was riding on a Sea-Doo. Very fun. Very wonderful. Riding on a Sea-Doo. And I was just like, oh my gosh, Lord, let me retire on a lake. It became a new prayer of mine. It's in there somewhere. All right. And also save the world. But also, that lake house would be really awesome. All right. Here's what I want you to get. You carry around inside of you a picture of your future family. All right. And you developed this picture before you ever got down on your knee and said, I do. You already had this picture. And if guess what? The people you broke up with and never got engaged to, you never proposed to, those are the people you saw that picture and you're like, what? Get away from this. This is not going to work, right? Let's be honest. That's what it is. But those people that you decide, I do. I'm willing to say for better or worse, till death do us part. Those are people that you've had a picture inside your head. You carry around this picture inside of you. Yes. A picture of your future family. Now, this is the ideal picture of your future family. I want you to say ideal. This is the relationship. This is the intimacy you hope for. It's ideal. This is the house you dream of, and it has exactly what you want. For some of you, you're already picturing retirement. Some of you have not gone that far. Some of you are picturing children. Some of you, let's just be really honest in the church, you're just picturing a really hot spouse, and that's okay. That's all right. All right, somebody like, oh, good Lord. No, that is okay. It is okay to picture a very hot spouse. Amen. It's a good thing. You find a wife, finds a good thing. All right. A hot wife too. All right. The picture is the ideal. But let's face it, the ideal does not always happen in our future. You would agree, right? Do I need to go any further than that? You're like, got it already. Lived it. I have a t-shirt that says that exact thing and a matching coffee mug. Here's something else you need to know. Right, so we have, you know, maybe not the same. We don't always have the ideal happen in our life, but here's something else you need to know. We also have different pictures sometimes. Yeah. And marriages run into some big problems. Your future marriage could run into a big problem because you have a different ideal picture and your spouse has a different ideal picture. My ideal vacation is, who can guess? It's water, it's a beach. Specifically a beach. That's my ideal. And it wasn't until after I got married that I realized Sarah's ideal vacation spot is a guess? It's a mountain skiing. They are totally polar opposite. So we're going to be taking separate vacations. Pray for us. Our youth pastor, Scott's ideal of a good meal is macaroni and cheese with the side of macaroni and cheese. And his wife, Jacqueline, her ideal of a good meal is Singaporean chili crab. That's who we need to go hang out with and go eat with. In marriage, two different people become one flesh. They become one unified body. The Bible talks about this often. Jesus talks about this. But in some cases, we have different ideals. So we can become one flesh, but there are still areas of our life that you know, someone likes macaroni, some like Singaporean chili crab. All right, they're different. And some of these cases, they're just minor, small differences, like your idea of a good movie. And these change. They can change over time, some of these things. But all these changes are pretty simple. They're kind of lower on the level. They require a word called compromise. When our ideals are different, there are areas in life that we can compromise. Okay, I will see the Adam Sandler movie this week. Then next week we'll see a good movie. All right. I've been really on Adam Sandler, I don't know, in the last like 6 months, dissing him publicly. Come visit church, Adam Sandler, and face me like a man. All right. And tithe. All right. But sometimes, okay, so those are other ones that require just a little bit of compromise. But I want to tell you real quick that there are some times other weightier matters that these different pictures become incompatible. They've got these two pictures that there's nothing that even fits on them. 2 Corinthians warns us a little about this. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. King James Version says it like this, more general. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And there's this idea of a yoke. What is a yoke? A yoke is something that you attach two oxen to, and that they're supposed to walk together. If you have two oxen, they want to go different directions. You don't want to yoke them together. But this says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? And what fellowship can light have with darkness? I want to tell you that if you and your spouse have different pictures of what righteousness is, you have different pictures of what that is, you are going to have some problems. It could affect your future. If you are traveling different directions in anything, let's take an example. How about this one? Fiscal responsibility. Just pulled that one out. Fiscal responsibility as an example. And one spouse makes a goal to save, but the other spouse makes no plan except to spend money on whatever is in front of them. Well, this different plan, it can lead to fights. And worse, down the line, it could lead to a divorce court. Most divorces are over the subject of money. All right? So we have these pictures. And if these pictures are not lining up, if they are not compatible, we have trouble. Our future is in trouble. Now, you have the ideal, but you also have the real. You have the ideal picture in your mind, but then you have the real visual. When you open your eyes, that's the real you see. And there is always tension in every marriage between the ideal and the real. In every marriage, you want to know what some tension is? Somebody had this ideal expectation of you and you are not hitting it. That's going to create some tension. And let me tell you, every marriage has some of that. Every marriage. There's no perfect marriage. There is no Mr. Perfect that meets every ideal thing you have in your life, all right? You can drive yourself crazy trying to be that, okay? You don't have to be that, all right? No one can be that except Jesus. But you have the ideal, but you also have the real. You need to know that the ideal picture in your spouse's head, what that looks like. That needs to be something you talk about. Hopefully you talk about that before you get married. Or else you'll get married and then you'll have a talk about, let's have a dog. And I'll say, no way on earth should we have a dog. And your wife will be very persuasive. And the next thing you know, you have a Yorkshire Terrier. That's what happens. You need to hammer out these ideals beforehand. You need to know the ideal picture in your spouse's mind. Not just so y'all can live together happily, but also because you, whatever's in her heart, whatever she's longing for, you actually do want to try to be that. You do actually want to provide that for her. All right, for him also. And you need to care about it. You need to care about those things that are in her heart, in his heart, all right? Hopefully, this is something that you talk about before you say, I do. When we give marriage counseling here at Redemption Church, we talk expressly about what is expected in these ideal pictures we have. There are many, many marriages that they walk into it and they haven't talked about things like sex. And so people walk in, they have two expectations. They don't, how many kids they're going to have. I mean, that's a pretty elementary thing. You like falling off a log. No, people forget to do it all the time. How about things like faith? Oh my goodness, people don't do it. Listen up, singles. Do not get into a relationship with someone that has a completely different ideal than you. I don't care how pretty they are. Do not do it. Do not do it. Y'all are going to go in different directions. Can I underline, especially in matters of faith, especially in their ideal picture of who God is and what it is to follow Jesus Christ. But here is something we need to say. No man or woman will ever live up to your ideal. They will always fall short. So, can you love them in the real, even when they are not ideal? I want to tell you the biggest problem with divorce, you know, divorce has always happened. Divorce has always happened. Divorce is not new. But here is something new and awful in our day and age, that divorce happens when you don't measure up to our list of demands. And we have these unreasonable ideal things. And when you fall short of that, if someone gains a few pounds, if someone loses their job, if someone doesn't have six-pack abs, if someone isn't the coolest person suddenly in their circle of friends, I mean, they drop them just like that. And I believe that is what most divorces are. I tell you what the world needs today. It needs people that will love people in the real after they've fallen short of their ideal. In fact, the story of your Bible is the story of God being willing to leave the ideal and step into our real. Jesus steps down from heaven. It's ideal. And he walks into a world where no one accepts him, where no one loves him, where people like ridicule him, where people betray him, where people spat on him, where people lied about him. But you know what? He stepped into this real and he still loved us in our real. The Bible says he loves us while we are yet sinners. Yeah. He loves us when our real, after we've fallen way short of the ideal. If your future marriage is ever going to survive the coming struggle of life, and it's coming, somebody is going to have to be willing to leave the ideal and step into the real. It's gonna have to happen. Do you love enough to do that? If you do not, then you should not enter into that marriage, all right? Over time, the picture changes. Over time, your picture changes. But here's something you need to beware of. Beware of the slow fade. I want to talk to you about the slow fade today. Changes are normal. We weren't expecting a third child to be in our picture, right? We had this ideal picture. People ask us, since we've had this third child, they ask, well, how many do y'all plan on having? And we look at them and we say, two. We plan on having two. We plan on having two. Ideal doesn't always happen. We're going to keep them. We're going to keep them, y'all. Don't freak out. But they were not our plan, all right? They're beautiful kids, but it was not our plan. We weren't expecting a third child to be in the picture, but here they are. It wasn't the ideal, but now it's the real, and we accept it, and we will love this new addition to the picture because we allow our picture to change, all right? And how about this one? People weren't expecting to lose that job, and it's not the ideal, But we love them in the real. We're not going to like walk out on them over that. We weren't expecting, let's go positive for a moment. We weren't expecting the great opportunity to come. This opportunity opened up out of nowhere. And it's like, well, that's not in our picture. Well, maybe we should alter our picture to allow this great opportunity to come for us. We were not expecting God to call us into a ministry or purpose. There's so many people like that. You're looking at one. Sarah was trying to square away the ideal picture, and she asked, now, I want to make sure. Now, you're a worship pastor, but you never want to be a lead pastor, like a preaching senior pastor of a church, right? And I said, absolutely not. Ha! That sounds awful. But God opens up these doors. And when he opens up these doors, they can be totally unexpected. And you have to look again at your picture. And guess what? It is so powerful when you and your spouse decide to walk into a new picture and say, all right, this is us. This is what we're going to do. We're in it to win it. We're doing it. But here we are. The picture has changed. But at the end of the day, it is still our picture. It's still our picture. It doesn't need to be your picture. When you got married, it's no longer your picture. It's our picture, all right? But there is one change you need to be careful about, and it's the slow fade. The most important thing about the picture is that at the end of the day, you and your spouse are still in it. It doesn't matter what else happens around. That's all livable. At the end of the day, you and her, you and him need to still be in the picture. In our video introduction, we showed you the clip from the great movie Back to the Future. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Something had occurred and it caused a chain reaction of events. I won't ruin the movie for you, but the picture of a future family was altered because of one action. This one minor thing happened that changed the course of the future. And with it, it actually changed family members in the future. The picture of a future family was altered because of one action. It's really important. There are things that you do that you just take for granted, but they could either save your family or hurt your family in the future. So don't just look past that stuff. The people in that picture, in that movie, slowly faded until they were no longer in the picture again. As Doc Brown said, they were erased from existence. There are things that can happen in life that will jeopardize the people in your picture. We're going to be talking about the confines of marriage, but over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about some other things like our kids. There are things that you can do that jeopardize your kids still being in the picture, all right? That's not something you want to lose. That's not something you want out of the picture, amen?
Amen.
There are things that can happen in life that jeopardize all of those things. There are things that could happen. In fact, they could be happening now that could be removing you from the picture of your future marriage. Imagine a picture where you're no longer in it. Long before you are married, you could have formed habits that will destroy your picture. Habits. Yeah, habits. You could be making decisions like, I'm going to do this, but it changes your ideal picture in an irrevocable way, in an irreconcilable way. Let's talk about some things you can do that remove you from the picture. And so you can avoid them. How about this? The way you spend your time.
All right.
The way you spend your time can remove you from the picture. You playing on your phone or your tablet instead of being a part of your family, it can remove you from the picture. The priorities that you have in your life, that can remove you from the picture. The people in that picture went, well, he's not here. He is in someone else's picture. He's in his business's picture. He's working late hours. I tell you, working in the church, you have to look out that you could step out of your family's picture and only work in the church and only do that ministry. You're missing out if you're doing that. That's not good either. your priorities, how you spend your time, it can remove you from the picture. You got to be careful. Your trust issues can remove you. Your jealousy can remove you. How about this? Your anger. Your unwillingness to back down. How about your pride? You won't even admit you're wrong. That will remove you from a picture. You want to win an argument so bad that you would let yourself be removed from the picture? People do it all the time. They explode in a fit of rage, and sometimes they go and they become abusive. What they just did is they just knocked themselves right out of someone's picture. How about this? Your habits. How about your health? Let's talk there. You could actually, the way you're treating your body right now, be removed from your future picture. Because you've got bad eating habits and you're a heart attack waiting to happen and you haven't changed it. You got to change that. You're going to remove yourself from the picture. What's going to be in your picture is an empty space. You're going to be in a coffin if you don't get that under control. Let me tell you, that's a spiritual issue. You need to get that under control. You love your family? Be there for them. Don't kill yourself on French fries. Your addictions, and men, there's a lot of them, but your alcoholism, your drug addiction, your porn addiction, all of that stuff, it'll remove you from the picture. We'll go here. Other relationships. See the word adultery in the Bible. That'll remove you from the picture. And sometimes adultery isn't just the act of sex. Sometimes you're committing like an emotional adultery when you start confiding in other people and you start entering into their picture and you're like in someone else's picture, but your spouse isn't. And so like you're like, okay, I'll be getting this picture, but now I'm in this picture too. You look out. You look out. You're only going to be in one picture. Dude, you're gonna get lost from that picture. You're gonna get caught up in something, and it's gonna be bad. It's gonna be bad. Do you want a picture where you only have your kids in it every other weekend? Is that what you want? The other day, just yesterday, I went to the grocery store with my little boy, and I opened up the back of the van. I'm a minivan dad now. Yay! I opened up the back of the van, and I started to get William out of the car, and he had these huge tears in his eyes. And I'm like, buddy, what's wrong? And he said, I miss mommy so bad. We had been gone like an hour we were at the Villaggio, and then we went to the grocery store, and he had all these tears in his eyes. And I'll tell you what hit my heart so strongly is this. My gosh, can you imagine being divorced? And this boy, you have him for the next 2 days, and you look into those eyes, and you see those tears that he misses his mommy, and that your stupid choice made that happen. And what he really misses is that it's not like he doesn't want to be with you, Dad. He also wants mommy here. He wants mommy and daddy to be in the same picture again. Yeah. Let me tell you, that is a painful, awful thing. You don't want that for your future. You don't want that for your future. You better be careful. Don't make choices that get you out of that picture, all right? Somebody needs to know that. You need to know that. It's tough. I can't imagine. Be careful what you bring into the picture. You can bring burdens into the picture. You can bring problems into the picture. Here's a scripture we use in marriage talks all the time, and it usually ends up with feeling like a burden for women. So women, I want you to trust me on this verse, but you probably already know the verse I'm going to talk about. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Let us look at it. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And so a lot of times the scripture is brought up and women get like really quiet and they're like, they're bringing up that scripture again. All right. Number one, let's point out this: as to the Lord. It's part of your worship to God, how you treat your husband. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. In fact, the way you submit to the Lord has never harmed you. So the way you submit to your husband shouldn't harm you either. And if you're getting harmed in submission to your husband, we need to talk because something isn't happening right, okay? But I got better for you, ladies. So I want to tell you that men are quick to quote this verse. Absolutely. But let's also quote the verse before it. The next time someone quotes this, make sure they quote the verse before it, all right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Don't be quoting 5:22 of Ephesians without quoting 5:21. Here's what marriage is. Marriage is mutual submission. And when you only quote verse 22, wives submit to your husband, you are quoting an untruth that it is submission is a one-way street, and wives, you need to listen to me, you need to obey me, this is my picture, abdicate to my picture. No, 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 marriage is mutual submission. We are to submit one to another out of reverence for Christ, out of reverence, not out of hatred, not out of, gosh, I have to do this. No, you are actually worshiping Jesus when you serve each other in marriage. Yeah, it's a good thing. We are to bear each other's burdens. Now get this, don't be a burden. Most marriages that end up in divorce, somebody became a burden. Somebody, here's usually what happens. Somebody comes home and they say, hey, I'm really busy right now, so I need you to handle this, and I'm going to go, and I got to go back to work, and I'm going to come do this, and I need you to handle this, and I need to take some time where I do this, all right, and it won't always be like this, but for right now, it needs to be that way. And so you hand that to them and you walk off, and 5 years later, it's still that way. You never came back and picked up that burden. You never came back and released them from that burden. That happens time and time again. And you keep coming home from work late, and you keep having that bad attitude, and you keep saying, well, you know, I just have to go do that. You are putting that burden right front and center in the picture. And suddenly she doesn't see her husband. He doesn't see his wife anymore. There's a big burden in your spot. Don't bring burdens into the picture. Don't do that. It's about mutual submission. It's about getting under the burden. It's about together we lift the burden together. You don't just hand her the kids and say, that's your job. You don't just hand her the cooking responsibility and say, that's all you. You don't just hand somebody all the finances and say, you handle all of that and you better get it all right or else. You don't do that. You're bringing burdens into stuff. The biblical model is that we submit to each other, that we get under the burden together and lift it up. Is that in your picture? I tell you what, you need to get that in your picture today. You need to repent of all the stuff that's not that, and you need to get that in your picture today. Here is something you can start asking to save your future marriage. Listen up, it's real simple. How can I help? You need to ask this question daily. Let me tell you, kids, let's talk to kids real quick. If kids would walk into the room and say, hey, mom, dad, is there anything I can do to help? You'd need to pick up mom and dad off the floor. Especially like if they had like guests over, like guests over to the house and there's like a party going on. If you timed that, little Rob Cortez, you listen up. If you time that moment, like where your parents have friends over and guests over and they're in front of all their friends, and you walked up at that moment and said, hey, mom and dad, is there anything I can do to help you guys? Oh my goodness. That would change the world right there. That would change the world forever. Amen. The words, how can I help, are huge. Are those words in your marriage? Are those words around your kitchen table? Are those words around when it comes to your kids? Are those words around when it comes to other responsibilities in your home? You need those words. So if you're single, if you're a young person, if you're married, become someone who gets under burdens. You aren't causing burdens anymore. You're getting under the burdens. In fact, what is their burden is now your burden. You submit to those burdens together. You get under them. Let me tell you, that'll save your future marriage. You bet it will. That'll save your future marriage. But also, you need to save yourself for your future marriage. Sexuality was created by God for marriage. I'm not blushing. I mean it with everything in my heart. Sexuality was created for the purpose of marriage. Wouldn't it be great if you saved yourself for marriage? That'd be real good. That'd be a good thing to do. I would think it was created for that. Wouldn't it be great if you saved yourself for that? Many will say that keeping your virginity for marriage is an archaic idea. That is an old school idea. You're just living in the past, dude. Get with the times. If it feels good, do it, dude. What's wrong with you? Okay, so if that's archaic, I would say this. This is my response to that. Have you seen the modern epidemic? Have you seen the modern epidemic of abortions? Unwanted abortions, unwanted pregnancies that lead to abortion. It's an epidemic of it. How do you think that happened? Divorce. Man, not saving yourself for, it creates a lot of havoc in your marriage. Something that happened in the past can affect your future when it comes to marriage. Absolutely. How about this? Sexually transmitted diseases. This is the modern epidemic that everybody's trying to get you to believe and believe that God's rule of sex for marriage is archaic. Which one sounds better? A happy marriage where you love each other, or abortions, divorce, sexually transmitted diseases? I think it's an easy choice. All right. I made a decision to save myself for marriage. Pardon me. Also made the decision to not pursue anyone romantically until I finished college. Now, I don't recommend that for everybody. That was just something that I think was important for me to do. Okay? So at the age of 27, I finally felt ready to search for the person I would marry. I was done with college. I was looking for a home. I was ready to settle down. I was working ministry here in Plano. And I finally felt like now's the time. God, bring me the person that I'm supposed to find. Now, here's something else that I thought, and I want to tell you. I thought these things. This is unfiltered. Here I am. I'm a 27-year-old virgin. I've saved myself for 27 years, and there is practically zero chance, my thoughts, there's practically zero chance that I will find a girl that saved herself for me. So I told myself this, fluid, just get ready. It's impossible. It's like finding a needle in a haystack, somebody that saved themselves for you. So you know what? Just love them. Show them grace. I mean, it doesn't mean you can't have a great relationship with someone that hasn't, kept their virginity for marriage. And I mean that. I mean that. I meant that. But in my heart, I was a little put off at God that this was probably going to happen, because that's just how life is. So they don't have to be a virgin to love them and to have a happy marriage with them. So I saved myself for them. So, you know, God just help me out. Help me find the girl for me. So I was pretty like no faith at all. No faith. Aren't you admiring my great faith? All right. And then it happened. I met the most beautiful girl outside the Taco Diner in Plano. Thank you, Lord, for Taco Diner. The shops at Legacy. Taco Diner. That's where you need to go. Find you a woman right there. Most of you know my story. Most of you know that story. And especially you know my killer pickup line. Those are some pink shoes. I said those words, Joseph, and the rest was history. She was ready to say yes right there. Most of you know that part of the story. It's a lot of fun. I share it a lot at Connect Groups and you know stuff like that. But most of you don't know this part of the story. Sarah and I were getting serious, and to have a serious relationship, we were headed down that road. It was evident to us. And she reached into her wallet, and she handed me a card one night after a date. I don't remember what we did that night, but I remember this moment. I remember exactly where I was. She handed me this card. And she said she wanted me to know this. I look at the card. I look down at it. It was a card that pledged to save her virginity for marriage. She had signed it when she was in junior high. She was at the age of 13 years old. And in that moment, I was like, dang. Dang, did that just happen? That just happened. I was like, I hardly knew what to say. I was so humbled. That long before she met me, she was saving herself for me. I tell you, of all the wonderful gifts we've gotten, that she's given me, birthday and Christmas, even our kids, Sarah, that gift, unbelievable gift that you gave me on that night, that you told me that you had saved yourself for me. I married a woman that saved herself to give me the best of herself. And I want to tell you that we still save ourselves for marriage. Let me tell you, after you say your I do's, you still save yourself for marriage. There are parts of you you don't give to other people. Right. Oh, no, sir. You don't give your emotional energy just anyone. You don't give your dark secrets and your worries and your fears. You don't just confide that. If you're going to confide those in someone, number one, you confide them in the Lord Almighty, but you need to confide those in the person you love. That's like cheating emotionally and all that stuff. That's not saving you. You need to save yourself for marriage long after you said I do. You need to save yourself for marriage every day. It could be as simple as, I've had a terrible day at work. I'm so mad. I'm so angry. I'm so mad. I come to the front door, but I have saved myself for this marriage, that I can open it up and those problems you say out there, right. Honey, I'm home. I'm so glad to be home. What's for dinner? How can I help? That's how you save your marriage. That's how you save your marriage right there. You listen up. That's how you do it. Do you want a story where someone saved themselves for you and you save yourself for them? That's a wonderful story. Now I realize that you might be in a situation where you've already have a past partner. I'm not saying any of this to dig you into guilt. I'm telling you, starting right now, you can start saving yourself for your future marriage. Right now, I don't care if you've been on like your 12th divorce. Right now in this place, you have a Jesus Christ that makes all things new. And you can start again and you can clean your heart. You can prepare yourself. You can have all those sins covered by the blood of Jesus, all that stuff. And you can walk into your new relationship saved for it. It's a powerful, powerful thing. Singles, can I tell you something? You want to save your marriage? Here's something you can start doing, singles. Start praying for your future spouse. Yeah. That's a spiritual thing to do. Absolutely. Long before I met Sarah, I prayed for her. And long before she met me, she prayed for me. That was something we did. We prayed for each other. It's beautiful. After you're married, you need to keep praying for your spouse. But you that are not married in this place, you could start today, start praying for your spouse. Start praying, God, keep them from temptation. God, keep them full of faith. God, fill them with the Holy Spirit. And God, fix the broken things inside of me so I'll be a good husband. Fix the broken things inside of me so I'll be a good wife. Fix those broken things. I tell you, there are things that are broken inside of us, that those things are going to destroy marriages. It's going to destroy our future marriage. But God is the one, it says that the Bible, that he takes the word of God and he's able to split the bone from the marrow with the word of God. It's like he's able to do open heart surgery. He's able to do critical open heart surgery kind of things on your life. And it fixes the broken things. God wants to do that for you today. Getting married is difficult. Staying married for life is rare these days. So just getting married is tough, but let me tell you, staying married, you need God's help in it. Amen. You need God's help in it. You need God. You know, the Bible says that he's the one that goes before us. He's the one, he makes our way straight. He's all around us. He's above us. He's through us. He's in us. He's all around us. He's protecting you on every side. You need that. You need that barrier around your marriage. Your future marriage picture could be fading right now. You could be disappearing from that picture right now. But there is something you can do about it today. I'm telling you, even your future marriage, you've not even married yet, but there's stuff in your life, if you don't get it fixed, you're just waiting to fade out. Are you ready to get it fixed today? You know what the stuff is. These altars are a special place. These altars are places where marriages are saved. These altars are a place where families are put back together. There's a singer I know, his name was Alvin Slaughter. He's a gospel artist. And he lived in New York. And he was away from God. And he was married. But he and his wife had separated. And they separated and they just stormed out of the house like a knockout, drag out, nasty fight. It looked like it was over. And they were both away from God. Alvin just felt God tugging on his heart. And he knew about this church up the road called Brooklyn Tabernacle. And he walks into that church and he could not wait for the sermon to end. He ran down to the front of that church. He started praying. He started saying, he just let God move in his heart. And he said, he started repenting of how he treated his wife. He started repenting about how he was wrecking his life. He started turning around. He said, God, forgive me of all the broken stuff inside of me. And God filled him with the Holy Spirit on that night. God did powerful things in his life. And as he got up from that altar, wiping tears from his eyes, he looked over to his side and there was his wife getting up from the same altar, wiping tears from her eyes. And they found each other once again back in the altar. You need to come to this altar. It saves your future. You need to come to this altar. We do three things every time we come together. We worship God together. We receive the word of God together, but we come to this altar and we talk to God together. These altars are open right now. If you want special prayer, if you got questions about faith, if you got questions about the future and you don't know what to do, you come up to this front 2 feet. We'll pray with you. We'll talk with you. If you need to talk to us, we'll do it. We want God's best for you. We want to see your family saved from all the future problems. We want to see your future marriage saved. We want to see the best happen in your life. Right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for everyone that's in here. Lord, I thank you for the word of God that's spoken to us. Lord, there's people in here that have hurts in their heart from past marriages and hurts in their hearts from past mistakes and hurts in their hearts from bad decisions. Right now in Jesus' name, speak to them. Bring healing to them. Bring
deliverance. Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.